Good evening and welcome to the Disney Discord podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Graham, and tonight I'm joined by Bernardo. Hello, Bernardo.
Hi, Graham. How are you doing? It's a pleasure to be here once again.
What else could we possibly be doing on a Saturday night?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, we have a little bit of an action-packed podcast this time. There's been some serious developments in the Disney world and certainly across the wider theme park world. That we are going to have to get into. I think it would be the first thing we should probably bring up is the new Disneyland Paris annual passes, because we've had a bit of time to digest the information from them now, haven't we?
Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks since they released the new Disneyland passes, and it's pretty much what we were expecting, I believe. What do you think? Oh.
I've tried to bring up the web page so that we had it there, but when you go on DisneylandParish.com, it's a picture of Stitch saying someone eat the page, so I currently can't bring the information up. But yeah,
I have it here. Yeah.
Did you get an error as well?
I'm sorry. What did you say?
Did you get an error as well when you went?
I have the page all loaded up here.
Just me then.
it's pretty much what we were expecting. You pay more and you get less perks. So no surprises here.
Yeah, it certainly seems a lot of people very upset by it. A lot of people are very, very upset with the changes. And whether or not, you know, that's justified or not is obviously up for debate, because, you know, one of the big problems we've had in Disneyland Paris for a long time is that annual pass holders on certain days can swamp the parks and on many days fill the park. And it can be, you know, I'm guilty of it myself. And it certainly when you get to certain times of the year, such as Halloween or Christmas or, you know, the special events that they hold, the days surrounding them, the parks are way above the normal operating capacity. So I sense Disneyland Paris have thought, we've got so many annual pass holders that won't be here so often, so there's an opportunity here to make a lot more money, and that the annual passes we're selling are obviously too cheap. So
yeah, they have been too cheap for forever, so it makes sense that they're trying to make more money off the pass holders.
Not just that, they've been available. I mean, annual passes in Disneyland Paris are much cheaper than any other Disney annual pass. Like they're by far, you know, cheaper than anywhere else you can buy an annual pass for in Disney. So they were always underpriced compared to the others.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So we've got three levels now instead of four. Which came as a bit of a surprise. I actually thought it comes as a little bit of a surprise, but only because I think they could have got away with a couple of extra benefits, such as being able to bypass the registration system for a much higher tier pass. I would have thought that would have been something that they would have tried to do, but they didn't.
Yeah, I agree, actually. Because in 2021, I believe, we had some rumors about a big VIP package that just doesn't exist. And so I think there could be a smaller, a market for that. People would pay to get that premium VIP experience. Mm-hmm. So they could definitely make a new tier, like over 1,000 heroes compared to the 700, that is the Disneyland Pass Gold, which is the more expensive option. So I think that could work, to be honest.
Can you take us through, just for listeners who maybe don't know the new information for annual passes, what are the three tiers?
We have Disneyland Pass Bronze, Silver, and Gold. The cheapest one only has two perks, and that is access to both parks for 170 days a year and Disney parking. And it costs just shy of 300 euros at 290. Then the
So
silver.
just hang on, just on that. Did you say includes parking?
Yes, all of them include parking, yeah.
That's new because it was previously not only Magic Plus and Infinity that had parking.
I think so, yes. The cheapest
So
one all now.
So there you go. However, generally the cheapest one's owned by French people who live nearby. So I would think that
Yeah, it's possible.
there's probably a lot of public transport there anyway. It's probably a perk that isn't really one that many people would use. And then
Well,
there
then we
is.
have Disneyland Pass Silver, which is 500 euros, so the same price that Infinity used to be. You have access to both Disney parks 300 years of out of the oh my god 300 days out of the year. You have the Disney parking and the 10% discount in shops and restaurants, and then a 10% discount on Disney Photo Pass,
So
which is really cheating, I think.
a 10% discount on the Disney shops is actually 10% more than you'd probably spend on Disney Store. So be careful with your 10% discount because you're actually paying 10% more than you could buy it probably online. So little pro tip there.
It's true.
And then finally.
And finally, we have Disneyland Pass Gold, and that costs 700 euros, and you have access to both Disney parks every day out of the year. You have the parking. 15% discount in shops and restaurants, so 5% more, and then you have the Photo Pass Plus free of charge and extra magic time. So this is now the only one that has extra magic hours.
Which is kind of pointless anyway. So
I mean, I like the extra magic hours. I like waking up early and just getting a couple of rides in, to be honest, but I can see it.
I have never been in there for extra magic hour. Not once.
Really? Wow.
Not once in my entire Disney life have I been
Oh,
there
wow.
for the more. If it's in the morning, I've never been there. I think once I've been at Walt Disney World into the night when they used to do extra
Yeah, I
magic
think
hours at
so.
the end. I'm definitely a later on person. I prefer the night in a Disney park. So let's just recap that one as well. So we've got gold there, and we're saying it's a 15% discount, which is quite interesting because 15% is actually less than it was because it was 20% previously.
It
And
used to be 20% on shops and 15 in restaurants for the Infinity
yeah.
one.
So you're only paying 5% more than you'd be able to buy it on the online Disney store. Yay! We should get little sound effects in here. I'll do that for the next podcast. But we've got a sound effects board here, so we go hooray! I don't know if the bot would record it. That's another thing.
Gotta
So
try it.
365 days access for that one, and the other one was what was silver?
Silver was 300, just
300
300.
on those. So there
Yes.
are 50, effectively for weekends, there are 52 weekends in the year, which double them up, and you're at 104. So there's 104 days or a Saturday, Sunday, which means the middle pass actually now has weekends.
Yeah, I think so. But if we
Probably
compare it to
January, February.
Yeah, I think so. But if we compare it to the old what was the second best called? Was it Magic? You have Magic
Well,
Plus.
you had
That's it,
the
right?
Discovery, the Magic Plus, and
Exactly,
the
Infinity.
Infinity.
So that one used to have, I think, 350 days. So this is 50 less. Just
Yeah, but
pretty big difference.
I mean, Infinity for day wise, Infinity really only gave you the peak weekends in August. The Halloween weekend or the Halloween surround, and gave you, I think it was like the peak week in December. I don't like,
I think
I
so,
think
yeah.
for the 15 days, you were only adding on effectively like the worst days to possibly ever be in Disneyland
Well, yeah,
Paris.
of course. I mean, it's magical being there in Christmas. I don't know, I've never been, but
So we've it basically tells us though. If we look at that, we know we're not going to get another pass this year. The 1,000 euro pass is definitely not coming this year, and we can tell that because Gold has 365 days access. The other thing is they've changed annual passes because of the Olympics in 2024.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, actually.
Which is pretty cool, but I mean, that probably means they're very temporary, you know?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, it could be, at least a naming. But even so, this is a pretty much simpler way of showing, you know, the tiers, because before, you just by the names, it just doesn't make any sense. Discovery and Magic and Magic Plus and Infinity, it doesn't make any sense. This is much easier to comprehend.
Oh, I get this much easier, but what I mean by that is I don't imagine they're going to keep an Olympic theme once we get out of the Olympics. It seems probably.
Oh, yeah, it could be. Could be, yes.
So I think they've maybe just bought themselves more time. I don't entirely know if they've been ready for this to be the solution to their problems. So just while we're picking over the problems here, you're getting a lot less benefits. You're losing the main benefit, I think, that was probably, I mean, you're losing a bit of discount in the shops, and you're losing a bit of discount in the restaurants. Mm-hmm. You're not losing the free parking benefit. You're losing your random free cocktail in certain Disney restaurants.
Yes.
which was dreadful anyway. It was like pineapple juice and red syrup. It was horrible.
Wow.
It was genuinely, the free cocktail was dreadful. You are losing, the biggest benefit I think you're losing is the privilege tickets, which is your bring a friend for, I think it was about €45 in the end. I think for kind of, it was 40.
You had several prices. You have two prices for high and low season, I think.
Yeah.
It was like 45, no, 42, I think. It was 42 and 61. This is for Infinity. I'm not sure about the Magic Plus pricing.
Yeah. So you got that. You can currently, I mean, one thing I would tell anybody who's listening along, anybody who's like, God, that's how we bought our tickets, you know, we're screwed. You can actually get a much more flexible ticket in the sense that you can buy it in advance and you don't have to queue up or anything. And you could do that. You can do that through like attractions tickets. You can do it from Disneyland Paris. You can go and Groupon occasionally and get quite a good deal. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be as cheap as going to Disneyland Paris and getting your privilege ticket. However, it is only a couple of euros or a couple of pounds more. And it can be, you know, I'm not saying it's a replacement, because there is certainly some restrictions. Sometimes it's, you know, one park, one day, which they've been phasing out. Like, I think the single park thing is being phased out slowly.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's because everybody who does single park goes in into the Disneyland park, the Magic Kingdom style park. So I think Disney are kind of like, if you do a one day ticket, it kind of shoots themselves in the foot, because they really want people to be in Walt Disney Studios, spreading the word a little bit.
I think about that, actually. Now, in Walt Disney World, they've introduced differently priced tickets for each park. So I think that could work here as well, you know, have a cheaper price for Walt Disney Studios, and that would probably just, you know, make some people visit that park. Do the same thing as just phase the two park tickets, you know, I think it would work.
I mean, the other thing, I'm pretty sure, I mean, this is just me speculating, but I'm pretty sure Walt Disney Studios and Disneyland Park at some point are going to have a ride that links the two of them together. I'm convinced that's going to happen, because it works so well at Universal Studios Orlando and Islands Adventure that I can't imagine Disney are looking at that and not thinking, wow, we should have something like this. Like, this is clever.
Yeah, that's true.
You've got to remember, they're back-to-back. I mean, parks of Walt Disney Studios are in the backyard of Disneyland Park.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, a well-placed tunnel could get you between the two parks. So I definitely think they're going to do that. So again, ticketing is a huge part of that sort of mess. But just to kind of round out the changes, you've obviously got the middle ticket, which is 300 days, which, you know, you're kind of taking out the busy weekends. You're probably taking out a busy week or two. Halloween week will be out. You're getting everything on the top level pass, and then the bottom level pass is probably the whole of kind of like January, February, and then you're probably looking at weekends You're probably looking at weekends kicked out, and I'd think probably July and August. I mean, I'm not looking at a grid just now, but I'd think July and August are probably the months, the most significant number of dates that are
Yeah, I
being
think
pulled
so,
out.
yes.
So again, the cheapest pass, I mean, what price did we say that was? 269 or something?
Cheapest one was gosh, I just closed the window. Let me see. I think it was 289, the cheapest one.
289. So, I mean, if you take 289 euros, you know, you're talking 289 euros across 12 months. That's £24 a month for
Yeah.
Disneyland Paris, and Netflix, if you've got a family account with 4K, costs you 20. So, I've got to tell you, I'd prefer to be at Disneyland Paris
Oh yeah, for
every
sure.
week than have my Netflix account. So, I'm not convinced that. I think what they've probably done, or what they've probably wanted to achieve with this, is push more people out the Infinity range and the Magic Plus range into the lower tiers, where they can control the crowds much better. And I think that if you look at that price, that 289 euro price, plus you're getting your free parking, you're
Yes.
probably at that point. They're not losing any money on shop discounts or restaurant discounts either. They're getting you in only on the quietest days. And I think that the bottom tier anyway is probably the right price and the right, you know, if you're talking about going to Disneyland Paris for less than 25, you know, quid a month,
Yeah.
that is a good offer. Like, I'm
Yeah.
not so people that say, you know, this has ruined Disneyland Paris and I can't go, I'm really sorry, but I mean, this is just really, it helps you as well, because travel, you know, if you travel on like a Sunday night and then you're there Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, or you travel on a Monday and get there on a Tuesday, Wednesday, you're there on the cheaper hotel and the cheaper travel days as well.
Yeah,
Like, the weekends are
exactly.
always the most expensive.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm
No,
not
yeah.
convinced
I
that
mean,
you
it makes
can't
sense. The
do.
new lineup makes a lot of sense. I completely agree.
You
It's,
can
I
still do
mean,
Disneyland Paris cheaply.
yeah, exactly. I mean, it obviously costs a bit more, but I mean, yeah. What's there
I
to
mean,
do?
the other thing is it gives room for this premium ticket. It gives room for this 1,000 euro ticket. Let's call it the 1,000 euro ticket, the platinum ticket. It gives room for it because you can now reintroduce some of the benefits. You know, you can go
From
back up to that
infinity.
20, yeah, back up to 20%.
Exactly.
You re-add privilege tickets, and people are
You
gonna.
can add the little entrance for exclusive for IP, for APs that was
They
kinda
didn't police that
destroyed
though.
now.
Anybody, other people, everybody just used that. It was
Well,
never
yeah, okay,
unique.
but yeah, but sure, it just feels
Or
better,
wait,
you know.
what year did they fold the shareholders club, the Euro Disney shareholders club? What
Think it
year
was
were?
when they bought it, like 2016 or 17.
Was you got about 2 years after they'd done that, you got a letter that extended you the historic shareholders of Disneyland Paris. That was established. And the historic shareholders was for 5 years, I'm sure.
Okay.
So I wonder, here's an interesting one. This could come first on the podcast, by the way. This is an exclusive. And by the way, you're probably gonna run and make a video on this shortly, just because I know what you're like. Have you ever seen the inside of Salon Mickey, which is the shareholders?
Yes, I've seen a couple of photos, yeah.
Well, I've been in it a couple of times, and it was kind of pointless in a respect, because it was really like an exclusive ticket entrance. I mean, that was kind of, you know, but
Yeah, pretty much.
you could get a free croissant, and you could get an orange juice or a bottle of water or something. It was quite nice, but it could only hold about, I don't know, 10 people maximum.
Oh, well.
I wonder if they won't change that across to be like a, you know, like the platinum gate, the way
Yeah.
in.
There could
Yeah,
be.
so 2027 is when, oh no, yeah, the membership card must have been 10 years, sorry, and it's, oh no, it's
Okay.
7 years from the Euro Disney Club historical shareholders of Disneyland Paris the Actionnaire's historic de Disneyland Paris. Goes from I was giving you my French there. Goes from 2020 to 2027, so it expires in 2027, which makes me believe that that little room, and that is a fantastic little room that was designed and was imagineered and is a great entrance and has all the facilities to scan tickets and everything, that is either going to be some sort of VVIP entrance, or they already have a VVIP entrance in the Disneyland Hotel. So my belief would be that there's a, if you go into, do you know where the VVIP, there's like a lift that takes you down and you come out into the park.
Yeah, it's the Castle Club elevator.
Yeah, so the VVIP, so that's where they take all the people who, you know, if you're like a movie star or a pop star or something like that, that's how they come in.
No, neither am I.
But they come in, they come into the Disneyland Hotel, and then they go in via just past the shop. There's a lift that uses a key card, and that lift can take you into the park. But there is also the Salon Mickey entrance, which is next to Guest Relations. And I think that lounge may end up getting used as like the Gold Plus or the Platinum card members exclusive lounge. So like the Disney nerds, the real Disney nerds. People that go meet each other there.
The ones that have money.
Well, I don't know, because I mean, I bought my shares and I spent £20 buying my shares. I think that was what I had to spend to get my shareholders card. Like I joined pounds. And yeah, it was, you had to own 10 shares. And I think
how
I bought
much
them at like,
was 10 shares?
Well, they were €2 each. So yeah, it was about 20.
Okay.
Like you had to have a minimum of 10. So I had, I think maybe I had 11. Maybe it cost me 22. But, it, you know, like.
Whoa.
Well, I spent the bare minimum to get access to the club.
It's actually hilarious.
And then they sent out renewals and then changed the club to 100 shares, but they had stopped selling shares, but they had already renewed me. So for my £22 or €22, I was already a member of the top tier of Disneyland Paris. So
I mean, how many probably bottles of water did you get in Salon Mickey?
Oh, I've got to tell you, between my croissants, my bottles of orange juice, my bottles of water, probably I have made my money back, I assure you. I'm probably the reason they've shut the club down. You could take two guests in, so I commonly had my two guests.
That's like, actually hilarious.
I basically used to take people on tours of that little room. I mean, it's only what? No, in fact, it's two rooms because there's a toilet. There's three rooms. There's a reception, a lounge, and a toilet. So it's there.
Good, actually.
It was all right, but I think it could serve as quite a good
for £20. It's more than all right.
Yeah, I mean it's more exclusive. It was more exclusive. This is the funny thing. It was a more exclusive room than Club 33 at the original Disneyland.
Oh yeah,
there were less shareholders than there are Club 33 members.
Wow.
So, I mean,
was a mere £20.
it was £20. Is all it cost. That could be a fantastic perk that costs them literally nothing. Like
yes,
it's already
that's actually
there.
A pretty good idea. I might have to tweet that later. So thanks.
Tweet you're absolutely going to make a video. I've met you. Perhaps. I think there's scope. The other thing that they'll probably do, and this might throw the cost up even more, I don't know what cost we're talking now, but Disney Plus is already getting smashed in with hotel packages, and it's already getting smashed in with tickets and stuff. You know, I think if you buy a ticket now, if you buy a 4-day ticket or something, you get a month free on Disney Plus, something like that.
I was checking to do a booking on Disneyland Paris, and they said that if you in some bookings, when you book in a hotel and tickets, you get like 12 months free of Disney Plus.
Well, that's exactly. Yeah, so one of the annual passes is absolutely going to have Disney Plus rammed in there as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, Bob Chapek would love that with
Yeah.
his
There's
synergy
another.
machine.
I don't know if you've seen, there was a rumor, it was on WDW Magic 4, it was on one of the forums, but apparently Disney are exploring potentially linking like a Disney Radio, which would be like a Spotify-like system, in with Disney Plus.
Oh, okay. That's
So
interesting.
I don't know if that would just be because, to be honest, it's their music anyway, so they might as well include it. To make
Oh,
it
yeah.
seem, I think because they're removing content, it seems like they're adding content if they add
Yeah,
these
I
Disney
think so.
songs.
It would actually
So
be a pretty good idea and a cheap one to do as well.
yeah, very cheap. So I
Yeah.
don't know if it'll be a second tier, or if you'd have to subscribe to some, more, or if it's
Oh,
just going
well.
to be, Disney Plus, but sounds, Disney sounds within Disney Plus or something. So
Yeah.
apparently I don't know much about it. Apparently, there's some language in the app that's in there that leads people to believe that Disney music might be on its way.
Okay. Well, yeah,
So that'd be
that's
quite.
actually pretty interesting. Yeah.
So I think there's the scope, because they did say, I mean, it was under Chapek, but they did say that, Disney was looking holistically at how do we join our parks, and how do we join our movies, and how do we join our, Disney Plus, and how does all that come together as one? And we've started to see, Disneyland Paris are putting out the Avengers Campus. Like, have you seen the videos online for the Avengers Campus,
I
like,
haven't seen
series?
the videos, but I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, they're not great, but they're doing it. And you've linked now, so the characters, the movies, you've got a little bit on YouTube. You've got a little bit. I mean, if they'd put on Disney Plus or something, maybe it would have been a better link, but they didn't. You've now got occasionally the fireworks shows are on Disney Plus, like
Yes,
Harmonious was
yes,
on there.
yes.
I think it might still be, and they
I
had
think
done Illumination.
Illuminations. I think it's
Yeah.
there. The Illuminations from Paris, not
Yeah.
Epcot.
So they've definitely got scope to merge these things and make them a bit more. I mean, it's unlikely. I don't know anybody who's got an annual pass for Disney who does not have Disney Plus. I mean, I'd be interested.
Yes.
To the people who are
Yeah.
listening along live, please put in the chat if you're a Disneyland Paris annual pass holder, but you're not a Disney Plus subscriber, because I'd imagine that the crossover is somewhat huge. And
Yeah.
we know that Paris is always kind of the guinea pig for, this sort of nonsense.
That's
Like,
true. Yeah.
much smaller market. Like, for Disneyland Paris, they can effectively pick the UK, or they can pick France, or they can pick Spain or Germany and have a market. I mean, each country's roughly between 65 and 80 million people. So they can always try with these little smaller markets, this sort of like advertising, and seeing if these benefits are actually useful or not.
Yeah, that's a pretty good guess, actually.
I think that's where
I
we're going.
like
I mean,
that.
do you have any other thoughts on annual passes? I mean, we've now spoken about annual passes for half an hour. That's quite impressive.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I actually have a couple of things. Because they've announced that we're getting four AP parties. I know your thoughts on the AP parties. You don't love them.
Nope.
And also an AP pop-up space, which will be for sales and small events, which should maybe have the same purpose as the Storybook Store used to have, when they released those exclusive items
Yeah.
and as a big line. Yeah, so this new pop-up space will sell those limited items and will also hold an exclusive meet and greet location. So only four APs.
You think that'll
So
be in the old annual pass bureau?
I think so, yes. That space
That was
is
what was created. That
prime
was what was created
location.
for.
I mean, that was a cafe, right?
Yeah, but that was when it was repurposed into the bureau. It was actually supposed to be for meet and greets or annual
Really?
pass, Yeah, but then kind of Disneyland Paris, in true Disneyland Paris style, made far too many bits of paper out of it. So it ended up being to go and get your card made. So
Yeah, I mean,
wasted.
yeah, exactly. It's in a prime location. It just makes sense that it gets used. So it's abandoned right now. So I put my money on that. Yeah.
So, what else?
Yeah, that's pretty much it for annual passes.
I thought you were going to cover some of the negative sentiment we've seen online. So certainly people are very upset.
I mean, yeah, it's... I mean, it all comes down to, you know, pay more, receive less. So,
yeah,
I don't think there's a lot to say about that.
There's not. That's we'll cover the parties. I mean, I liked the Pirates and Princesses party, and there's several parties I've liked, but usually the AP exclusive parties are just character dumps where they drop 20 characters and they don't really do anything. They just have lots of meet and greets with some exclusive characters, which I'm sure if you're a character hunter, that's wonderful. If you're not, it doesn't really do anything. Like, it's just an overcrowded night.
That's true, but to be honest, I've only been to one, which was the last one, last March, I believe. And it was a lot of fun. You had that game on the phone, which was in French, but I got it to work in English as well. But still, it was a pretty fun night. Just going around the park, meeting different... There were a lot of characters, but it wasn't like meet and greet locations because they weren't meeting you at all. It was just in their own little worlds, which was pretty fun, to be honest. I got to meet Captain Nemo, which was fun, since now Captain Nemo's Nautilus doesn't have anything related to Captain Nemo. So that was fun. And then, you know, the rides were open, which was with no queues at all, which is pretty fun.
Good. That takes us on nicely to the Nautilus has reopened in Disneyland Paris. An extensive refurb, internal, external, in the lake, out the lake, up and down. And again, despite I think the refurb is of quite a high quality, there have been some negative comments made. Would you like to walk us through why people are so upset by a walkthrough attraction that forever had zero wait, zero people in it, is suddenly so offensive to all the fans?
Well, you know, personally, I like walkthrough attractions. They're not up on the list, you know, no one's list actually, but still, it's a very nice touch. And I think that the Nautilus was, for many people, the best walkthrough attraction Disney has ever made. You know, it was highly themed, highly immersive, and it was very much linked to the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea movie from Walt Disney. And it had an impressive animatronic, which was the Kraken or the squid, the giant squid. Which they have replaced. So I think that, for me at least, the only reason I'd be upset about this new refurbishment would be because of the loss of that animatronic, which was pretty impressive, just on the more of a technical side than anything else. It was really impressive to see. And they've replaced it with screens, which has become a bit of a problem in the theme park world. And it's just sad. That happened.
Yeah, I think somebody said as well they were using basically stock footage that they found online.
It's they got it from a website and it cost like 150 euros or something like that.
That's quite funny, but it's not very good, especially when you've got a CGI team that work for the whole company.
Exactly. So
the Nautilus is back open. We had some other news. What was the other news on rides or attractions? Oh, it's escaped me. We can skip it just now. So Bastille Day was held, which was the celebration of the French Revolution and the storming of the Bastille or something like that. My French history is dreadful. Despite me being in the what is the club I'm a member of? The Actionnaires de Historique or some nonsense.
Actionnaires of Disneyland Paris.
Yeah, something like that. Despite me being a historian of some sort, I am not very good French history, but Bastille Day was held. Fantastic day. Dreams happened, and then they went from dreams into, I don't know what we'd call it. Did it have was there a title to the show?
I think it was just Bastille Day Fireworks. I
The
think it was.
Bastille. See, we really need to give these things names so that when we refer to them, that
Yeah,
people know what we're talking about. Like, I'd like to be able, because now, because it doesn't have a name, how are we supposed to be like, that was this show, or this was the 2023 show, or, I don't know. However, do you want to walk us through what actually was part of that show? Because it was pretty spectacular.
Yes, so they have like almost 1,000 or 1,500 drones up in the skies, which was Europe's largest display of drones in the show. They had the big fireworks that we all love, that Disneyland Paris only uses like a couple of nights a year. And it was just a perfect mixture of projections, music, fireworks, other pyrotechnics, fountains, and of course the drone. So they joined it all into one amazing show. So huge congratulations to everyone involved as well. It
It
was
was
really a
very,
spectacular sight to see.
it was spectacular. I mean, so I made some notes while we were doing it. We were watching along, and I think we guessed 1,000 drones, and it came out there was 1,500, which is obviously what is a normal show in Disneyland Paris. It's 500, so this
I
was the equivalent of like.
think less, actually. That's the Avengers show. I think the D-Lite has like 300, I think.
Yeah, well, there was D-Light 1, and then there was D-Light 2. Remember,
Yeah. The
D-Light
first one had,
2.
I think it was like 200 or 150. I'm not sure actually, but yeah, it's a lot more drones than what
Yeah,
they're used to.
I mean, it is kind of funny. I mean, we should make like a little meme thing, or how it started and how it's going now, between like when they done the really impressive like shooting star, followed by the 30 that sort of wiggled around the castle, and now we can put
Yeah.
entire cities in the sky.
Yeah. It was amazing.
It's incredible as
Yeah.
well that Disneyland Paris is the only Disney park doing this.
Yes, that's true. Which is
So,
also something incredible because the resort, I think, has become associated with these amazing displays of drones, which I think it's something quite good to be associated with because I think it's the next level of shows. So I
it
love to
is.
see.
I mean, you've seen as well, drone, is it Drone Sinos or something that run the company that do it?
Yes,
They've
crazy.
opened a branch. They've opened a branch in Orlando now.
I wonder why.
Can't imagine why, especially when the next one will be, they've opened a branch in Anaheim, California, very close to. I can, but they use custom drones. I thought they were using DJI drones. They're not. They're using their own drones. And they've got, we said 1,000. It was 1,500. It was the other thing about the show was quite novel. A lot of people don't know this, but Dreams was designed to begin with, much like Fantasmic was designed. So the show has what's called a show bank, and that's basically all the fireworks that go off on one show. And Dreams was designed that it had capacity for three shows. Now, it's very rare that they ever load three shows, and it's really because they might do Dreams twice, once for like the normal
Why?
guests, and say, well, it's quite common that people that book out the park want their own show.
Oh, okay.
Like,
That makes sense, yes.
so they're always designed with two banks. And Disney, because a bank is effectively just like a fancy flower pot that's bolted to the roof of the buildings. Like, I don't think it costs that much to put the show banks in. So I think that they always load it with that sort of third bank. And that just gives them redundancy that if they're doing a special event, or they're doing something like Christmas or New Year or something like that, they can always do a little bit of tag. You sometimes get a tag for St. Patrick's Day and St. David's Day.
Yeah.
And that second bank can either be like there's always a bit of redundancy there. So we worked out while watching it that initially they were just using the Dreams fireworks again. So they'd done Dreams, it finished. 5 minutes later, they begun the Bastille Day fireworks of 2023. They had the drones. Then a lot of the fireworks seemed to be, I should say, were the Dreams fireworks. And then it was like we got some of the bigger bangs from kind of Wishes and the sort of perimeter fireworks that you get a bit further out. I'd go as far to say, other than New Year's Eve when they done Wishes, I don't think there's been that level of fireworks in Disneyland Paris for any other event. I think that's probably the biggest fireworks show they've put on in a long time.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was actually pretty similar to last year's. The music as well was the same, but I'm not sure they had that many fireworks, which was, again, an incredible sight to see.
It was.
With
Massive
Samson.
amount of fireworks, massive amount of drones. These drones obviously are not prohibitively expensive, or Dronesinos just have understood that if you do a collaboration with Disneyland Paris, you're probably like you're able to sell your technology much further because they showcase it every night. There's a good, 30,000 people in the park every day that can take photos of it, and like that goes a lot further than, traditional marketing.
Yeah, of course. I mean, look at us. We're talking about them, and where would they be if it wasn't for Disney? We wouldn't be talking about them, so
But
must be.
I don't think there's a single night in Disneyland Paris where they've used all three show banks on one night. I don't think it's ever happened before, as far as I'm aware, anyway.
Well, yeah. I've heard that the prince that used to have a big percentage of Disneyland
Bob and
Paris,
Elwood.
yes, used to have the his own private little shows after the park closed.
He did. He did.
So that's something, I guess. He could have
So
watched,
I'd.
I don't know.
But the truth is, you had Dreams running first, and although it wasn't a concurrent show, it was almost a concurrent show. It was almost one big show. It was almost, a solid hour of fireworks. Like, even Epcot for its 30th, which was considered the biggest fireworks show that Disney have ever put on, like, was considered the most amount of fireworks they've ever used in any Disney park ever. It wasn't an hour long. It was 27 minutes for Reflections at Earth and then 5 minutes for the fireworks show. So while I don't think Disneyland Paris used as many fireworks, it's probably up there for the longest show that Disney have ever put on.
It's possible, yeah.
If you take it that 5 minute break in the middle, and it probably was the longest show that's ever been on for a fireworks show in Disney.
Yeah, they had that little break, but even so, and if you count the Delight, which isn't a fireworks show, but makes part of the it is a part of the bigger conglomerate that is the full show, it's quite possible, yes. Pretty.
Did they do Delight that night?
I think so. Yeah.
That means they had over 2,000 drones sitting about that day.
Interesting.
I wasn't watching that early. I caught. I was like, we were in like scene two of Dreams before I went on the live stream.
Think it was, yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
Like
that's impressive.
that's pretty cool. There's some, Disneyland Paris is still out there in front for that. If we move on for a minute, we'll move on to a couple of things that are happening. So Epcot, they've got the Moana Garden is now doing soft
Yes.
openings. So soft openings. I am couldn't be any less excited about that if I tried.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's not a
Nothing.
lot to be excited for, to be honest.
No.
Yeah.
Tiana's Bayou Adventure is still winding up all the right people. There's a lot of people very upset that it's, gone woke. Quite how, I think Song of the South was considered quite a racist movie. I don't really think there was much in Splash Mountain that was racist. However, it has been decreed and it's now becoming Tiana's Bayou Adventure, which has upset half of Florida. And then finally, it has apparently. And then finally, we roll on to is attendance down at D Walt Disney World?
Yeah, so we talked about that last time, and my opinion has changed. It's not, it's not. I was the one that brought it up last time, and I said because there was a big, I think it was the Wall Street Journal that made a big article about that, more focused on the 4th of July, which times were much lower than normal. But other than that, oh gosh. Other than that day, that was pretty much it. You've got Rise with the normal over 100 minutes. You've got Tower of Terror just filled. You've got everything with big queues. So, my opinion has changed. It's not actually empty. So, well, yeah, there you go.
I am there in 32 days or something, so I'll be at
Wow,
Walt Disney
that's
World
awesome.
myself, so I'll be having a look at the crowds and comparing it to what I kind of would expect it to be.
Live
One of the
report
things,
from the. Yes, let's
yeah, I'll do,
go.
maybe I'll do a live podcast, but maybe do a really short podcast while I'm in Walt Disney World or something. I don't know.
Yes, sounds good.
We could do it if I can get in the Moana garden. I can do a podcast from there. That'd be
Okay.
magical.
Yes.
That's a joke. I am not going to the Moana's ridiculous garden. That's not a thing. But the parks obviously are now finally equalizing out and revenge travel. I think that's what we're calling it, revenge travel for COVID, is slowly equalizing out. So numbers are probably tailing off a little bit, and I don't think that it's quiet. I think people saying quiet haven't been looking at the wait times. And I think the biggest example everybody uses is Rise of the Resistance. However, what I don't think they've realized about Rise of the Resistance is Rise of the Resistance, when it opened, was dreadfully unreliable. They just didn't empty
Yes,
the queue.
yes.
Instead, you just got held for a long period of time. While they didn't necessarily announce that you weren't going to be
Yeah, that's a good
moving
point.
for a very long time
Yeah,
because the
that's a
ride
very
was.
good point. Was
So
down.
once they fixed that reliability, or as I should put it, once they decided that they can run it while it's still in B mode and some of the animatronics aren't hitting the right notes, and I think they've even hid the Kylo Ren one now.
Yes. They replaced it with a screen.
I mean, I get why. I mean, it went down every
Oh,
day. I
yeah.
mean, it was 1 in 4 were likely to see it. 25% of the time you'd probably get it to hit right.
Yeah,
The rest of the time it didn't. So
pretty bad.
I get why they changed it for a screen temporarily until they can figure it out. I mean, animatronics are not easy to do. And they obviously knew that they can either keep putting the ride down and keep 75 when it may keep making 75-minute wait times, and have people who are visiting the park for short periods of time not get to experience the ride, or you can replace it for a projection on a screen, and then you can
Yeah, it
make sure
makes
a
a lot
bunch of
more
people.
sense to keep it open, yeah.
So they've started powering through that queue, and then you've got the fact that it's no longer the new attraction. Like, you've got the Guardians of the Galaxy coaster, which balances off Epcot a lot more, and you've now got Tron at the Magic Kingdom. And I think these are quite adult rides that a bunch of people are like, yeah, I want to go and try that. And that's balanced a lot of the queues out. So now Rise of the Resistance, which is a people eater, which has huge capacity as well. It's a huge capacity ride. Is doing, probably the wait times it's supposed to be doing. Like, it should be a 25-minute and a 30-minute wait. That's what Rise of the Resistance was designed for. It wasn't designed for
It's really a 35 minute. It's more of a an hour and a half. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
So it's not, it was never designed
A
to
lot
be a.
of people there.
So, I mean, Galaxy's Edge was always designed that you were supposed to be in the shops, in the restaurants, buying, milk with some food coloring in it. You were supposed to be spending money elsewhere. You were not supposed to be in the Rise of the Resistance queue for your entire life.
Yeah. It makes
So
sense, yeah.
when people use that as an example, I'm kind of like, it's the worst example. You should pick a ride that they've had for 10 years, like, or since it opened, like Small World or Big Thunder Mountain or something, because they are
Yeah.
consistent.
I agree, yeah.
The other thing is, I think a bunch of people have stopped paying for Genie Plus. like from some of the trip reports I've been reading, and
I mean, Genie Plus did get a big price bump, so it makes sense they're trying to price people out. It's what I think they want to do.
well,
So
when
yeah,
it launched, it
plus.
was what, $6 a day or something extra? It was like nothing.
Yeah, I think it was like $10. Yeah, but
Was it?
now you have it going to up to, I think, I'm not sure what the maximum was, but it was a lot more.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of put it back in kind of a standby favor. Like, I think Disney have finally worked out a better combination. I don't think they're still there. Like, personally, I think Universal have the better Express Pass option, which is that you spend a lot more money if you want to skip the queues. But Disney have certainly started increasing the price and queue skipping, and I think they're right to do that. Like, if people are willing to pay, phenomenal amounts of extra money to skip a couple of 25, 30-minute waits, that does not bother me in the slightest. Crack on.
Yeah, I think so.
The other big news in Walt Disney World is that they are still continuing their legal case against Ron DeSantis, and they have tried to set the date for the court date, which is the first day of the Republican primary, which I thought was very funny.
Oh, well.
They're just trolling at this point.
yeah. Well. Well,
Now on
that's
to other Disney
fun.
news. Because it is a Discord Disney podcast that we don't just talk about parks, we should probably bend a little into the creative sphere. Half of Disney's writers, in fact, all of them might actually be on strike just now. So there's a lot of content that's not coming.
Yeah, that's a great point of view. You've got the writers' strike in Hollywood, which will affect a lot of content and the content machines of a lot of big studios, Disney included, of course. And Disney is actually taking a lot of heat. Bob Iger is taking a lot of heat from everyone, from fans to writers to actors. So it's not been an easy couple of weeks for those folks at Disney.
No. The other thing is, I don't really understand it. So some of them were posting their salaries for some of the writers. And their salaries are in line with kind of like, I don't know, their salaries in line with kind of like teachers and dentists and careers like that. Whereas you've obviously got actors, like I think they were saying Samuel Jackson's like several million for his, several tens of million for his
Well,
Secret Invasion. And I just think that, the writers aren't asking for several million. Like, even doubling their salary does nothing in comparison to the cost.
yeah.
Like, you might not be able to have one of the Avengers in the next movie.
Yeah, that's
Like,
true. It's a lot of it's very strange to see from an outsider's perspective, I think. But another big point of it is, the big AI threat that's coming for jobs. I think that's a big point that they're trying to make over there. I gotta be honest, I don't fully comprehend everything, so don't quote me. But I think that's one of the major problems that they're trying to avoid, getting their jobs stolen by AI. So there's a lot of things that they're trying to do.
I'm not convinced AI could really. I mean, if we look at ChatGPT, which is probably the best
Oh
that
yeah,
there is out
no,
there
I
just now,
agree. I
tell
mean,
it to write you a story, it's not very
the problem
good.
is if, yeah, that's true, but I saw that Disney was offering a position for like $160,000 for an AI specialist. So if they're working on these big machines, they will get better. They will eventually get very good. But even so, when we're talking about creative and creative side, I don't think anything can really replace a person and a creative person. So it'll
No.
be interesting to see how it plays out.
I think the only thing that AI might get used to doing, maybe this is the nut of it, The AI could maybe generate some of like the minor characters' backstories or something. Like it might be used to kind of flesh out otherwise, you know, like you know what I mean? There's like B, there's
Of
B-tier
course.
characters.
Yeah.
And I think it might get used to flesh out some of that stuff. So I don't know. There's also AI art is getting there a little bit. Like it's getting up there to the
Yeah,
point it
it's
can now.
gotten a lot better than, yeah, in a very short time, it's gotten a lot better. So, yeah, you see, so there's a lot of possibilities, and if they keep on pushing and keep on investing, it will get very, very good and very impressive.
Well, to the point that we might end up with Disney Plus content that's generated by AI.
No, it would be cheaper. They're pretty much throwing money. You saw Secret Invasion cost like 25 million in an episode. It's absolutely crazy.
I
When did that
know,
show
given that,
have? Wow.
yeah, there's not 25 million worth of work in that show per episode.
Exactly. It's just, yeah, it's out of this world. So
That's the
I
same
don't
though
have a lot
with.
to say about it, to be honest, because I don't really comprehend the whole world around, but that's a lot of money that they're just wasting on Disney Plus content when it's not bringing any money to Disney. So,
Yeah. There's a bit
pretty
of
strange.
that. And especially, I mean, Indiana Jones was one of their big expenses. Flopped. It's gone.
Yes. Yeah,
Damn.
again, one of the major reasons why it flopped was the budget. It cost like $300 million, which is absolutely crazy when we're talking about an Indiana Jones movie.
It's not
So
just,
I don't get it.
yeah, I don't get it either. I mean, I watch Star Trek as well, which is on Paramount Plus, and they've started cancelling off Star Trek shows now because it's so expensive. And I'm just kind of like, but nobody is asking you, like, nobody's asking for 10 million, 12 million, 15 million dollar budgets for an episode. Like, I'd be quite happy, you know, like, we're down to 10 episodes per season. And they're like, oh, it's because each one's like a mini movie. Well, Star Trek was never about being a mini movie. It was always about the story or the point or the
Yeah,
general
man.
thrust of the argument. And I'm kind of like, spend half that and we'd still be happy.
Yes.
Like,
I mean, one
budgets.
of the shows that one of my favorite shows ever, it is Game of Thrones. And I see where they would spend that money because that show looks expensive to make, and that translates well into the screen.
Yeah.
But when you have, Secret Invasion doesn't really translate well to the screen, especially with some of the effects which are a bit questionable. And I think that I could be wrong again, but I think that Secret Invasion costs more per episode than Game of Thrones, which is just mind-blowing.
I mean, some of the expenditures are mind blowing, especially when you think, you know, for the cost of these, we could get some very nice attractions or a night parade. You know, night
Yes.
parade, the Main Street Electrical Parades currently. I mean, what anniversary are we on of that? I mean, how old is the Main Street Electrical Parade? I'm going to Google that just because the Main Street Electrical Parade, electrical parade. Is there someone in the audience like screaming out how old this parade is? But it was created in 1972. I mean, that's just incredible. I mean,
Yes, and it's
1972, what's that? What does that make it? 50, 51? 52, 51?
It was 50 like last year or a couple of weeks years ago. It went back to Disneyland because of that, so it makes sense that it's like 50, 52,
Yeah,
51.
like, you bought it once. Like, we can't have a new night parade because it might cost a couple of million. Yet you had one that we've kept for 50 years. Like, nobody is going to be watching Secret Invasion in 50 years. Give us a night parade instead. If you want to get it on Disney Plus, you can film the night parade once you put it through the
Sounds
park.
like an absolute amazing deal to me.
Not
Going back to
just.
the movies. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was gonna be really funny and say you could film it in Epcot, Magic Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, Animal Kingdom. Film it in every park if you need to get four episodes out of it.
That would probably be a better series than Secret Invasion. So, you know, this could be the million-dollar idea. Just saying.
Film the electrical parade. Do you know what's really funny? They've kept the electric parade for 50 years. You can watch it dreadfully on YouTube. Nobody who's ever filmed the electric parade has ever done it any justice. Nobody who's filmed Paint the Night has ever done it any justice. In fact, we have, what do we have? The Main Street Electrical Parade, Phantom Illusion, Spectral Magic, Paint the Night, Tokyo
Yeah,
Dream Lights.
Hong Kong has one as well, I think,
So
or had
we've
one.
had all the we've had all these parades. We could have filmed them all. We could have an entire series of night parades on Disney Plus. Instead,
Yes.
we're watching what somebody filmed either on their camera or on their phone, which is always dreadful because light parades, you really need multiple, a light parade needs multiple camera booms, it needs decent setup, it needs good lighting, it needs dark spots, it needs coordination, it needs the music in sync and everything. And yet, instead, we got Secret Invasion.
Yes.
Like,
Well,
come on, Disney.
it is what it is. There's nothing we can
Film the
really
Main
do
Street Electrical Parade.
about it. Or just bring it to Paris. Either one would be fine.
I don't think it. I mean, it's 51. We'll have a, I mean, let's have the Main Street Cavalcade or something. I only want three or four, maybe five floats. I'm not asking for the whole thing. Sorry, back onto the movies.
Well, as important as I think that the electrical parade is, and going back to the movies, yes, they've just spent tons of money on these things. The Haunted Mansion, you know, the brand new movie just came out. I haven't seen it. I'm really trying to go watch it tomorrow, which could be an interesting movie. It cost $150 million. Just to compare that, Oppenheimer cost 100 million. So that's 50 million more, and it's I truly don't know how they can spend this much money. It's just really strange how you can spend this much money on one movie and just, I mean, come on. Oppenheimer, have you seen Oppenheimer?
Not yet, no. I
Oh,
will
okay.
go.
I won't give any spoilers, so yeah.
It's about an atomic bomb, so I'm assuming there's
Yeah, perhaps.
bang.
So
Well, let's take it. Let's take it.
that was amazing. That was an amazing movie. It was probably one of my favorite movies of all time. And for $50 million less than a haunted man, gosh, it's just so strange, and it's, I don't know. I don't get it. I truly don't get it.
Well, the one that always sticks out to me is Paranormal Activity. Have you ever seen that horror movie? I just hate horror movies. I genuinely avoid them if I can.
I cannot watch one. I hate them. I hate everything about them. So yeah, no, I haven't. But I know the movie. I know it.
So, Paranormal Activity was created as a student project or an indie project, and it was a production cost of £15,000.
Well,
So,
15, well.
yeah, I mean, it was, to be fair, it shows that they had to do an awful lot of post-production on it. So when they done the main cinema release, once they realized, wow, this is going to be popular, they redone the ending. And they spent £215,000 on the additional sort of like post-production to get it up to kind of Hollywood standards, okay? Or very close to that. So in total, $230,000. And it had a box office of nearly 200 million. Like that
You
is the
have a very,
difference.
very small budget. You have to be creative of how you use that budget. So it makes you do things that other people might have not thought about. So it's
Now,
just,
let's look at the latest Paranormal Activity, because it's now on. Oh no, I'm reading even more just as we go. It's now on Paramount Plus as a TV show. Of course it is. But there's Paranormal Activity: The Ghost Dimension, which no idea. Had a budget of 10 million. and only brought in 80. So it shows you, like, they milked it and milked it and milked it, and tried their hardest to, you know, how does it go up that much? And then let's look at one of the other films on Disney Plus. Have you ever seen, there's a movie, it is on Disney Plus, I'm sure. Is it a Disney movie? I've got to check this. It's called Hidden Figures. Have you ever seen it?
Hidden Figures, yes, about the Marvel, gosh, the Marvel, no, the NASA. NASA. Yes, I've seen it,
Now, that movie, it is on Disney Plus, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm sure Fox, that's where I watched it. It's Fox. Yeah, so it was a Fox. Was that a Fox? Yes, it was 20th Century Fox. And it was 127 minutes, so it's a 2-hour movie, so fairly standard. And it cost $25 million. Its budget was $25
million. Mm-hmm.
Okay? It is a fantastic movie. I've never met anybody who's watched it that thought that wasn't very good. Like, everybody thinks it's pretty decent. It was not, you know, it didn't have the greatest star lineup or anything. It did have Sheldon in it. But it wasn't like, oh, we need the best of the best of the best of the best. It did have music by
movie.
It had Hans Zimmer and Pharrell Williams done the soundtrack, which is two people I never thought would ever collaborate, but they did. so for a $25 million budget, it was a $240 million box office, so like 10 times.
Whoa. That's,
so, I mean, it just goes to show you that if you make, and that wasn't like a, it wasn't a drama in the sense of it was made up, like it was based, it was dramatizing, you know, it was loosely based on real events. And that, you know, it done so well. And it makes me think that, I'm not saying it's in anything to do with Marvel or anything, but they are capable of spending much smaller amounts. That would be the cost of one episode of Secret Invasion. Like, for a movie that would make $250 million for the cost of one
episode.
And, it's, you know, it had a great soundtrack, and it had great cultural relevance. It done really well in the cinema. Yeah. It's now on Disney Plus. Fantastic movie, and instead we get one 45-minute episode, and it makes it just makes you think, like, why? Why is it this bad?
Why? Yes.
Who ruined this?
Exactly the question. I think that was Chapek, to be honest. That was just Chapek's, you know, it started with Iger, but I think it got to a major high point with Chapek, where they were pretty much spending as much money as they could on Disney Plus to get people to subscribe. But it wasn't enough. People, you know, they were spending too much money and they weren't bringing any of it back.
So, not just that. They were spending more money and getting less.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And, I mean, you could say The Mandalorian was really good, but The Mandalorian was only ever popular because of Baby Yoda. Like, the actual story of The Mandalorian is boring as hell.
I like The Mandalorian. I didn't fully, like, feel season 3, but the first two seasons are pretty good. I think it's probably some of the best Star Wars content out there.
Except I'm telling you, 80% of the people who watch The Mandalorian are there for Baby Yoda.
Well, yeah.
When he gets a lightsaber, things are going to turn. Like, things are going to happen. And if you get Babu Frick, do you remember Babu Frick? What movie was he in? Yeah. He was in
the 9th episode, Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, Babu Frick is like the other coolest, you know, character, and they could make the Babu Frick and Baby Yoda series and it would do better than The Mandalorian. They could also, it would cost like $25,000. It's two puppets that get battered around the set. Do you remember they spent The Mandalorian? They spent something ridiculous like $15 million per episode in The Mandalorian, and if you slow it down and go frame by frame, they literally just throw the puppet.
That's awesome. It's
Have you not
incredible.
seen the pictures of this?
No, I
You
don't
all need
think
to
so.
you all need to go and Google this Baby Yoda gets thrown or Baby Yoda puppet thrown, and you'll see that somebody does like a frame by frame cut where when Baby Yoda's fighting, quite literally, someone's just in the room throwing the puppet back and forward.
That's
So it
awesome.
does flips. I mean, and they still manage, I mean, the special effects artists there are like getting paid. That takes me on. There is a series. There is a series. Oh, you'll absolutely know the name of this series. On Disney Plus, there's a series and it's a story of Lucasfilm getting started.
Oh yeah,
It's
I saw that.
what is
I'm
that called?
sure it's. I don't know actually, but I saw that.
I'm logging into my Disney Plus as we speak so I can check because I love that. That is great content on Disney. Of course, Disney Plus doesn't ever let you see what you've watched. I mean, why is it not
Camera
easy?
action, so that, I don't know.
Light and Magic.
Light and magic, yes.
Light and Magic, and they talk about the making of Star Wars. It's very long. I should warn you that it is a very long series. Every episode's like an hour plus.
Yeah.
And there are 6 hours of this, and it's quite. There's not a lot of action. There's an awful lot of talking. So if you're not into that sort of thing, you're not going to enjoy it. But anyway,
Mean,
six hours at.
it is a documentary about
It is the
Lucasfilm.
most. Yeah, it's the most extensive documentary on Lucasfilm that I think ever has existed.
Yeah.
And what you'll learn how they built some of these. And one of the big things they say quite often is we had no money, we had no budget, and we were told to get it done. And
Yeah.
they pull off what they call, you know, they're like, oh, this is a multi-million pound, this is a multi-million pound cinema trick. However, it cost us, you know, $25 on some sticky tape, and that was how it kind of worked for them. And now we've gone from having those pioneers that come up with all this like cinema magic for like next to nothing, to all of a
Yeah.
sudden we can't spend. I mean, you're talking the budget of one episode of The Mandalorian is more than the budget of like the original Star Wars, like.
Yes.
It just.
Yes. Yeah.
How is that
Pretty
possible? I
crazy.
mean, I get it's possible, but why is it possible? So I get that's. They're not making money, not because people aren't watching and people aren't subscribing. It's because literally they're spending too much.
Yeah, there's a lot of subscribers and they're just spending way too much and they're not making that money back. They're losing money. So pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Not sure
So
how
look,
they work around it.
I mean, literally, they could be beat if somebody came up with a studio that could make, you know, reasonably decent content without cutting edge CGI that costs a bomb and without actors that cost too much. They could actually just wipe the entire entertainment industry right out by just being more competent at not spending too much.
Yeah.
Like,
Well,
Disney are
not really
doomed.
now because of the strikes, but yeah. I agree.
Well, there's that. Yeah. If anybody can link, see if you can take generative AI art and link it with generative AI storytelling, and you could probably make the AI Disney.
Yeah.
Like, you could probably beat them quite quickly. And they'll outspend you, but they'll not outcompete you.
Yes.
So there we go. That is the last kind of big topic I had on my agenda. Do you have anything else that we've missed? What else has happened that we've. No.
Thanks. Actually, I do have something. Back to Disneyland Paris. Today, the new, well, not new, but the repurposed restaurant in Frontierland opened as Restaurant Casa de Coco, Restaurante de Familia. So that's something. Have you seen the
Okay.
photos?
I've seen the photos. Looks very nice.
Really nice, actually. I'm pretty surprised with the theming.
I'm going to be
Looks nice.
controversial. I
Okay.
know you're thinking you're always controversial, so why is this any different? But I'm not entirely sure Fuente del Oro, which already had one of the best themes for a quick service in Disneyland Paris, was the one that I would have thought, let's overlay it. Let's do
Yeah,
something with
I
Fuente del
agree.
Oro.
Yeah. I agree. It
Like,
wouldn't be my first choice, but no, yeah, top on the top of the list, I'd say probably the Colonel Hathi's would be the first
yeah.
I'd like to be
So
changed.
you've got Colonel Hathi's, you've got Last Chance Cafe, which is literally a shed. You've got Last Chance Cafe also is in Frontierland. So I'm just
Yeah,
like,
that's right.
we could have extended Fuente del Oro, we could have done something different, we could have done a themed room or something, but instead, no, we've done a full refurbishment of one of the few things that actually probably was okay. But do you know
I
what?
agree.
We can't complain. People like IP integration and people like new things. So Disneyland Paris is once again ahead of the curve and has a new property ahead of, I think, every other park in the world again. So they've got
Yeah,
ahead
I think
everyone else. Coco is there. Woohoo.
so. the sound effect would be nice now. You got
Ooh, yeah,
you gotta work on that.
I am for the next podcast we've got. We do actually have one more thing. Sorry, and I do
Okay.
apologize. I'm busy reading through our notes and what people wanted us to talk about. And we do have another big topic. It's Fantasmic.
Oh,
So
yeah.
now
Yes,
I think
yes.
on at least three episodes out of five, I've already had a rant about why Fantasmic is absolutely 100% unconditionally, and I will not be told otherwise by any sane person coming to Disneyland Paris. So we'll not go there again, because it absolutely has to happen, and I'll be very disappointed if it doesn't. Like, I'd cancel Frozen Land for Fantasmic, but
Whoa.
yeah. I would. I mean, nobody really is that excited with Frozen Land. Some little children are. Nobody else. Yay, it's the same one as Epcot with a bigger
Yay.
boat. Woo-hoo, woo-hoo. Hey, we're definitely going to need these sound effects. I'm going to have to look into these sound effects. If anybody knows Discord very well, please get in touch and tell us how we do sound effects in our podcast. In April 22nd, 2023, the Maleficent Dragon, which is known as Murphy, caught fire.
Yes.
And burned for a significant amount of time while apparently nobody really, like, it was really strange to see that, Disneyland in California have an awful lot of plans for how to get guests out if something catches fire where guests are. It turned out on that night they had absolutely, or what appeared to be absolutely no plan what to do if something caught fire on the Fantasmic Island. Like, you could sort of tell they just had never really thought what happens if the fire-breathing dragon catches fire, which it did. And then they subsequently built a tiny little, like, tarpaulin over the dragon, and the dragon was hidden. The good news is that the articulated arm, I don't think, actually broke. I think the arm actually still, once it was cleaned up a wee bit, the actual arm probably is okay. Because reasonably it was just bits of metal and some hydraulics, like, you can fix that. The bigger problem is the dragon. This is the second dragon that's caught fire. And I don't even think in Disneyland Paris we've even got the fire-breathing dragon back yet. We've just, Disney's like, God, no more fire-breathing dragons. This is
I
terrible.
think so. I think neither in the parade or the Disney Dreams. I think it still doesn't have the fire effects.
Disney Dreams, they hate the fire effects because they have to paint the castle. They're just lazy for that. The castle was never going to catch fire. But
Oh,
anyway,
yeah.
laziness aside. So Fantasmic then went on hiatus and was taken off because there was no dragon to slay, which is odd because they do have a B mode for when the dragon doesn't work, because this is quite a common thing. The dragon doesn't often work at Disneyland in California, and the dragon doesn't always work in Walt Disney World in Florida. So it's not the first time they have a projection of a dragon because they have a B mode. I actually
Really?
think they have a they've got a B mode. I'm pretty sure there's a C mode as well, where Maleficent lingers a bit longer, as like the person rather than the dragon.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm sure I'd have to Google it, but there is a B mode where they project the dragon. Like, this is a known thing. This used to happen at Walt Disney, not Walt Disney Studios, sorry, Hollywood Studios all the time. Like, B mode dragons just a thing. And that dragon spits fire, by the way. That still does it. Well, it's not fire, though. I think it's like a firework rather than fire.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So it's been a while since I've seen it. I can't wait to see it in September.
I wanted to see it last time I was there, but they did it. They hadn't brought it back yet, so.
Yeah. I'm excited to go and see it again in September, but we'll have to take it as it comes. But so Fantasmic's been paused until 2024 now, so they're not BMODing it, which is probably for the best, because the people that go to Disneyland California really just go there to moan about how everything's worse than it was before. All the annual pass holders there would be thoroughly disappointed that the dragon that was burnt to the ground is no longer spitting fire.
Yeah,
so they're not projecting it. Instead, they've paused the show. But they've done something kind of cool. And, you know, Disney really need commended on this. Disneyland in California have a fireworks show on every night called Wondrous Journeys. Or Joy... It is Wondrous Journeys, isn't it?
Yes, Wondrous Journeys, yes, Wondrous... I think. So. Or just Wondrous? I don't know.
I'm going to Google it. But it's like Wondrous Journeys.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic show. Fantastic show, yeah, it is Wondrous Journeys.
Yes,
it is one of the best fireworks shows they've ever put on. And what they've now done is taken it to the Rivers of America, and now they project onto the fountains. They have fireworks on the Fantasmic stage, and they have lasers and such that join the Wondrous Journeys show in sync with Main Street, which I think is fantastic, because Disneyland California is dreadful for being able to watch the fireworks at the end of the night. So the fact they've created a second location that can hold, you know, 5,000
people. It's not just in Frontierland. You have it in Small World too, I think.
Yeah.
You can watch. We have several places where you can watch the show, the same show playing at the same time with the same music. I think that's awesome, and I think other parks should do it as well. I'd love to see it in Disneyland Paris.
Yeah, I think fantastic idea. Absolutely fantastic idea. You know, you could do a sort of squint on it. You could, you know, in Frontierland and Disneyland Paris, if you were doing Dreams, you could put on a little bit of an overlay. You know, like you could have a bespoke scene at one point that is just the Wild West in Frontierland. You could do you could have a little bit of pirate action up in Adventureland, and then you could have a little bit of Tomorrowland action in Discoveryland.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I absolutely love that.
So, I was quite impressed. I think that Fantasmic being off was terrible. It's nice that they're bringing it back properly, and they've committed to bringing back Fantasmic rather than just cancelling its run. And on top of that, they've done something in the meantime. So I'm quite impressed, to be honest.
I love that. Yeah.
So that was the other piece of news we had to cover that I completely forgot about, despite it being my favourite show. I don't think we can do better in Fantasmic, though.
Yeah.
Like Fantasmic's...
I think it's in the new version in Hollywood Studios. You know, they changed a couple of scenes and they added a couple of scenes. I think it was the Pocahontas scene, which was, like, super long. And it was... they've cut that big time, and they now have a new Moana scene. It's pretty cool. The new version, I think I actually prefer the new version to the old one. So I haven't seen it in person, but I have seen a couple of videos. You'll see it in person, so you can tell me what you think after.
I've seen it on both American coasts. And I think the Walt Disney Studios... I'm, again, controversial in the sense that I think the Walt Disney Studios version is slightly better. But that's probably just because you're sitting down. You see a lot more.
I think that's a big upgrade from one to the other. You know, you have a real amphitheater in Hollywood Studios, which in Frontierland isn't really something. So you have a much lower capacity in Frontierland as well. So it's a big plus.
Anyway, do you have anything else? Because I think that's me.
Yes. No, I don't have anything else.
Well, I guess that's it then. So thank you very much, everybody who's joined us on this Disney Discord podcast from our Discord channel that then gets rebroadcasted out on the interwebs by other methods. It's great fun doing these every now and again, and I hope you've had fun. That's it from me, Graham. And
well, thank you very much for listening in live, or, you know, in all the other platforms. So thank you very much, and I'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.